Matthew chapter 8, if you have your Bibles this morning, good to be in the Lord's house. Once again, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? We're looking today at what manner of man is this. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. And though we don't always, if we would be honest this morning, we don't always like finding ourselves in situations that require us to get to see you move in such great ways. It is through those times that we sit back and after watching how you work things out in a way that only you could, we sit back and we say, what manner of man is this? And we thank you, Lord, that we serve a God who can solve and can cure big-sized problems. We thank you for it. And we ask you to meet with us this morning. I ask you to give us something from your word that we can apply to our hearts and lives. And as a church, we can move forward together. In Jesus' name, amen. If you think that following God will mean that you will never encounter storms, and you have the wrong view of this Christian life in general. These were not men that were living their lives in rebellion. These were not men that were on the run from God. This was not a trial that was sent to them by God for disobedience. These were godly men. They were in the right place at the right time, doing the right things, following the right person. The disciples were even on their way to be a part of something good, something miraculous, something that only God could do. And that something was to deliver a man who was possessed with many devils. And I believe that God placed these disciples in a storm to increase their faith because they would need some faith for what was about to go down on the other side. As you know, the disciples board the vessel with Jesus, and while going from one shore to the other, a great storm comes their way. And in this storm, I'm sure the disciples may have been asking themselves, how could I have the right calling? How could I be on the right mission? How could I be walking with the right one in Jesus, but also in a storm about to die? But I want you to know that just because the disciples were in a storm didn't mean they were being punished. But it did mean that God was bringing them into a storm for a reason, and it was for their betterment. God uses storms to remind his people that he's God. And God uses storms to remind his people that there is safety with him and in him. God uses storms in the lives of his people to increase the faith of his children. But also so the world gets to see God's people in storms. And the world gets to see God's people handle those storms with grace. And the world gets to see God show up in the midst of those storms for his people, and God gets the glory. See, I believe that this is what I believe. I believe that perhaps, and there are others who I've researched that would come to this same conclusion, that perhaps the maniac of Gadara saw the storm come up just like that, and then perhaps stop just like that, and you're looking at a man in the maniac of Gadara who was used to the chains and the fetters of men. He was used to man-made restraints, but he had just witnessed something perhaps that no other man could do. He had just witnessed something greater than the devil's inside of him. And God used the storm in the lives of these disciples in part for that reason, which is a reminder to us that sometimes we're in a storm, but it ain't all about us. Sometimes we get so focused on the storm that we lose sight of the purpose in the storm. And it's easy to do when you can see the storm and you can see the effects of the storm. Before a while, God has hid the purpose from you. But that's where faith comes in, as every storm has a purpose. So in every storm, even though we may not see the purpose, we can trust the God of the storm and we can trust the God of the purpose. And the disciples were in a storm, but not alone. We see in verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." I want you to know this morning and be reminded, this storm was enough of a storm that men who were very familiar with ships were afraid, but not just a little bit. They thought they were going to die. Now, one highlight of this story is that even though Jesus did address their weak faith, they knew who to come to in their time of need. In their storm, they sought Jesus. Oftentimes we say to look for the silver lining in the trial, or the silver lining of the storm. But the silver lining is Jesus. It's always Jesus. In every storm, in every trial, in every testing, in every temptation, look for Jesus in it all. And when you do that, you'll find him. The disciples says, "And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish." So they frantically go to Jesus, as Jesus, the man, was sleeping, but Jesus, the Son of God, was wide awake and in control. The disciples say, "Lord, save us, we perish." They're essentially saying, "Lord, we are going to die if you don't do something." And Jesus is about to step into the role of deliverer. He's getting ready to deliver his disciples from a life-threatening situation that he has allowed them to be in. For two reasons: to remind them that he's God, and to remind them that there is safety with him. But we're going to get to the bigger emphasis, the faith involved for what was coming. In verse 26, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Why are ye fearful? He was reminding them that they're not only with, but serving the great deliverer. Now, this does not mean that Christ will always deliver in the way we like. We like to be delivered from situations, honestly, rather than being delivered in the situation. It's kind of like if you think about a storm, and a storm is brewing outside of your house. You could go outside and weather the storm and be in the storm, or you could be delivered from the storm and go inside. And it's kind of the same thing with the Lord when it comes to our trials. We can weather the storm outside of the Lord. Everybody, I don't care who you are, you'll only last so long. You'll only last so long. Or you can shelter in place in Christ. You know, but oftentimes we like for the Lord to deliver us in the way that we want. But sometimes God chooses. How many times have we prayed for our loved one, and the Lord chose to deliver them through death? That's still deliverance. Still is. That's still deliverance. Sometimes we just want the Lord to deliver the way we want him to deliver. But we must be content with the deliverance of God in whatever way it comes. I've even been reminded of this when it comes to those that I'd worked with in the past. I used to say, you come on Friday night, you never know if that's the last time you saw some of these folks at the addiction ministry, because they could overdose that upcoming week, and then you never see them again. So I used to always talk about that. And you know what? And it was always tragic whenever we lost a student to overdose. But in many cases, it's deliverance. It is if they're saved. If they're saved, it's deliverance. It's not the deliverance I'd hoped for. It's not the deliverance that I prayed for. But sometimes the Lord chooses to deliver people that way. Now, when we think about deliverance, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These three little Hebrew boys knew that God was able. But they also knew that God also may allow events to unfold. But what did they know in advance? What they did not know in advance is that they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace, but God would be there with them. See, we won't always be delivered from the storm, but we can be delivered in the storm. Going back to the disciples, think of the disciples following the crucifixion of Jesus. Peter said, I go fishing. Some others said, we go also with thee. A time of doubt, a time of weakness and faith, they ditched the plan that God had for them. And how many times do we feel abandoned by God in our situation and in our trials? And we might leave the ministry for 5 minutes in our minds. We might leave church for 5 minutes in our minds. A lot of people start service for God, but in doubt, they quit. They abandon their calling. And really what gave away their lack of faith here was not perhaps going to God to begin with. Perhaps not going to God quickly and matter-of-factly, but in the fact that they believed they were all going to perish and knowing that was not the plan. You know what? Maybe God has given you a plan. He's given you a direction. But on that path, a storm is brewing. Remember that you're in Christ and there's safety and shelter in Him. What Christ do in this story that the disciples were in? He calmed it. I've been reminded of this often. Every storm has a beginning, it has a climax, and then it has an end. One of the things I've told Sarah at different times, say, the fire seems to be at its hottest right now at different times in our lives. And when the fire seems to be at its hottest, even though it's hot, it's real hot, the good news is it's going to start cooling down. Because every storm has a beginning, it's got a climax, it's got an end. And even when it comes to, even you think about hurricanes, there's the eye of the storm where it's at its worst. The Lord works this out in front of the disciples, right, literally right before their eyes. It says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey? Just like the disciples, we know him. We know what he's capable of. We've seen him work before time and time again. But when he shows up and performs another miracle, we have the thought process at times of, what manner of man is this? We cannot comprehend God. God blows our mind when he shows up and works things out. Why is that, though? Because there's nothing like him. Nothing can be compared to him. When we see him work, we don't see this kind of work being performed anywhere else. Jeremiah 10 and verse 6, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great, in might. None means none, and not even close this morning. Jeremiah says, thou art great, thy name is great in might. Even the name of God is great in might. And Jeremiah knew this. In Psalm 86 and verse 8, among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. society and culture today, they have all these things that they push on people. I've said it before, the world is good at recognizing problems. They are. They'll recognize every problem that the church recognizes just about in society. But the problem comes in their solution to the problem. They'll push self-help. They'll push all kinds of stuff. Turn over a new leaf. They'll reformation rather than transformation. They'll push whatever. Among the gods, liturgy. That means of the false gods out there. We could even name money and cars, houses, fame, Buddha, Mary, the sun, moon, and stars, other planets. We could go on and on this morning. There is none like unto God. There is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. So it also takes it a step further. Not only are they not like you, but their works are not like your works either. All the fake gods of the world, the sun, moon, the stars, have many purposes, but none outside of what God has created them for and designed them for. They don't answer prayers. They don't heal the sick. They don't heal the lame, the deaf, the blind, the dumb. They don't raise the dead. Only Christ has and can. And all those false gods have no mighty works. True power is of God. Exodus 15 and verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Think about these Old Testament prophets. Sounds like they not only saw God, but they'd remind themselves and remind others of how big God is. And the things that only God can do. We see the answer when Moses in Exodus, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? The answer is nobody. There's one thing we can learn from those who knew God from this Bible. Is those and those that know God today that live amongst us is that they've testified and will testify. That there's nobody better than Jesus. In name, in deed, in creed, in character, in holiness. There's nobody that'll cause you to step back and marvel and say, what manner of man is this but Jesus? When I think about the storm in society, when I think about the utter chaos that our nation and our world is in, I praise God that we as Christians are able to get away from it all. We're able to come together. We're able to find shelter from the time of storm in God's house. You know, and you can feel the chaos out in the world right now, and to come in here into God's house and folks be glad to be here, feel safe and comfortable here. They know that Jesus is here, and they know that we live in Christ and that we're sheltered in Christ, and we can come into His house, into His presence with thanksgiving and praise. Not everything in our life that needs fixed. Sometimes we do that. We can come into God's house, and if we're not careful, we've got our list of everything in our life that needs fixed, everything in someone else's life that needs fixed, and then everything in the church or the property that needs fixed. I'm not saying there aren't times. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have prayer meetings, and we shouldn't lift up our requests and make them known unto the Lord, although He already knows. But it shouldn't be our every existence. We should come into God's house and praise Him for what He has done, instead of sharing everything He hasn't done. People should come into church and say, man, I wouldn't mind having what they have. Not, I wouldn't want to be them for 5 minutes. Life is what you make it. And you know what? If we're honest today, everybody's life has been different. Everybody's life's been different. From the day you were born up until now, everybody's life has been different. But one thing that we all share in common is that life is hard. Some people may have had harder lives than others, but nobody in here has had an easy life. Nobody's had an easy life. Everybody's had their challenges. Everybody's had their difficulties that they've had to overcome. So that's one thing we know. Life is hard on everybody. But praise God and give people something to strive for. Give people something in your life to be desired. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. So come in thankful, come in and praise him, come in and bless his name. He is worthy. There's just something about coming from a chaotic environment that makes going into a calming environment that much more soothing. I remember when I worked in retail, other people didn't like it, but I enjoyed it when I walked into retail and the radio was broke. Something wasn't right with it. Or they didn't get the, something's wrong with the track or something from corporate or something. I don't know. But either way, it wasn't on. And yeah, you could hear a forklift on the other side of Home Depot when you normally couldn't. And you could hear somebody drop a board if you were in paint and they were all the way on the other side. Yeah, you could hear it. But you know what? I liked it. I like calm environments. Now, that might be crazy because we got five boys at the house, but I do like calm environment, and maybe that's why I do like it a little more. Maybe that's why I do desire it a little more. But I like calm environments. I like to go places that's calm. You want to get me antsy, put me in a big old public space where there's a whole lot going on. I know something today about what they call sensory overload. I know something about that. I've seen too much. I've heard too much. My mind has processed too much, and it's time to go. I know all about that. But I like calm environments. You can't wait to leave work at times if you're employed today because home's less chaotic. Home is welcoming. Home is inviting. You can block out all the noise if you choose. And folks, I do believe that Christians across this world are in peace much of the time. Why is that? Why is it most of us are not frantic right now? It's because the Prince of Peace lives within us. We turn to him when this world turns to many other things. We rely on our faith in God that it'll all work out. Even if we don't deem the situation to be favorable. We have Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I ask you today, do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Then all things, not just some of them, but all things work together for the good. Don't lose sight this morning of the God of the storm. Don't lose sight of the one who knew the storm before it ever came, has the solution to the storm, and also knows when it'll end. I've used this illustration before in boot camp or in the fleet, Marine Corps. We'd be on a hike, and they didn't tell us when the hike was going to end. We didn't know. And if they did give us a number, we knew that they were lying too. They didn't know either. Sometimes they try and tell you, oh, we're going to go on a 3 mile, but you know it was 10. You know it was. It was not three. It was not three. But you're just pushing, just one step after another, one step after another, one step after another. And you didn't really know when the end was. And that there was a lot of times, and there was a couple of times it was me, you know, where you just kind of like, oh, man, I got nothing left. I got nothing left, and you just kind of off to the side. And basically, none of us ever completely quit. We just decided we're going to walk our own pace. We're not going to keep up. Unless you passed out or something like that, that was when you completely quit. There was no completely quitting. unless something was bad medically wrong with you. But really, you just get to the point where you're like, you know what? I'm not keeping up anymore. I'm going to walk my own pace. I'm going to slow down to what's comfortable for me, what's convenient for me, what I think I can do. And there was times where, and when that would happen to me, and there was a few times that happened to me, I always felt real bad once I realized that, you know what? Had I just kept going and kept up with everybody else, we were about done. We were about done. About there. About to the other side, about to the finish line, so to speak. And I'm telling you, the Lord knows. The Lord knows when the storm is. And you want to keep going. You don't want to stop short. You don't want to stop short. I can't tell you how many times I almost stopped short coming from being away from the Lord, resurrendering my life to the Lord, and pursuing His call in my life on ministry. I cannot tell you how many times victory was right in front of me. And I was close multiple times to not getting to experience victory because I was this close to quitting. And there was times that I did stop and I started walking my own pace. I told the Lord I was done and all this other stuff. And then ended up, you know, the Lord working in my heart and life and starting moving again, following Him. I did have those times, but I wouldn't be here today if I didn't push. You keep going. The Lord knows when it ends. You just trust Him and you just keep walking. And I invite you too, don't waste the storm. Because again, every storm has its beginning, it has its climax, and it has its end. And the Lord has us in it for a purpose or something in it that He wants to teach us. If we don't learn what we got to learn in the storm, there'll be another one coming. It's guaranteed. The Lord knows that a storm for too long would probably do more harm to us than good. So again, every storm, beginning, climax, end. Just because you're coming out of a storm don't necessarily mean you learned what you was supposed to learn in the storm. Can't tell you how many times I caught myself in a storm over the same thing. Same thing. Some of the people I know, believers that live the most peaceful lives, they still got problems. Don't get me wrong. But the major stuff, like the real major stuff, is behind them. Because they've allowed the Lord to break them. Don't waste the storm. But also be reminded there could be a maniac of Gadara that might just be watching. And when he sees the power of God in your life, and he sees victory, he sees the Lord show up in your life, he may just get deliverance. And this world's always watching. They're watching, and believe it or not, people know us better than we think they do. You know me better than I think you know me. It's just the way it is. I could think that you know very little about me, but the truth of the matter is, because I'm up in front of you all the day, all the time, you see my facial expressions, you see my mannerisms, you see all that stuff, and then just dot, connect, you know me better than I think you do. That can be scary. But people are watching. And when you see me struggle and you see me get victory, it makes the Lord look good. It encourages you. When you get victory, it encourages me. It does. It encourages me. And again, in Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27, we see where the Lord placed the disciples in a storm to address their faith, because their faith would be needed for what the Lord was getting ready to do in someone else's life. And that's the main gist of this. I preached some time ago on a Wednesday night about prayer and fasting. It was a similar situation. The disciples had done much healing. Sometimes I wonder if the disciples just kind of got short-circuited a little bit whenever it involved demonic activity. I know I get short-circuited a little bit. If you know somebody devil-possessed, I'm probably not the one to call. So I can't help but think that the disciples just, that was something in particular, perhaps. Because on multiple occasions, they're struggling with this. They're struggling with someone that is so out of their mind and crazy that they're thinking how. But Jesus addressed their faith before Jesus was able to do what he needed to do in someone else's life. And the Lord's constantly reminding me of that, because if there's any area that I believe I could improve in and believers in general could improve in, it's faith. How much more could God do if we had the faith? How much more could he get involved in certain situations if we had the faith? How much more would he get involved in our lives personally if we had more faith? And be reminded this morning, then we'll close, what manner of man is this? It says the men marveled in verse 27. So after seeing the Lord work, they marveled. And then after seeing the Lord work in the heart of the maniac of Gadara and seeing his complete transformation, you see it right in Scriptures, complete transformation right before your very eyes if you were there. That's the way it would have happened for those that were witnessing it. It was instantaneous. What manner of man is this? Lord, as we come before you, thank you for your word.